Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. This week on the Todd Allbaugh Show, we've been very busy and had a bevy of incredible guests. On Wednesday, Todd spent the day at Volk Field, celebrating Northern Lightning, affectionately termed summer camp for fighter pilots. Our friend, the Wisconsin National Guard Interim Adjutant General David May, welcomes Todd to Volk Field, and we have some other guests too. Stay tuned.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh. We are live here on location, as Terry Barr said, at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, just outside of, here, just yards away from the tarmac at Volk Field with the Wisconsin Air National Guard and several others. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, Mr. Zommers. It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. It is... Wait, did the camel not make it? There we go. The camel made it. We were afraid for a moment the camel didn't make it up here to Volk Field. Maybe there was a mix-up with the civilian versus a military, but no, he made it as well. Mr. Zommers down in Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square at the World Headquarters. Zommers, I'm not sure what it's like down in Madison. It is an absolutely 10 out of 10 day here at Volk Field in Juneau County. How is it down there?
Gorgeous here as well. Very bright, sunshiny day, but in my opinion, not too hot, whereas some recent days it has
very
been.
Good. Just right. Just perfect. Zommers is going to be loading up the special Spotify playlist we have on standby at any moment, because our guest here, our first two guests at the table here from Volk Field Live on a beautiful day, is the Interim Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard, Brigadier General David May. General, thank you so much for being so hospitable and having us back here at this Northern Lightning event at Volk Field.
Yeah, this is fantastic. To have this work out again 2 years in a row is great. And I tell you, these 2 weeks in August, this is my favorite place to be.
Well, ours too now.
Yeah. So let's make it a tradition. This is awesome. We have so much to talk about and to show you as the afternoon goes on.
Well, it really is. And also joining us here at the table, if you're watching on the stream, and of course you can see everything happening behind us here. We already had some aircraft take off and land. Joining us here at the table as well is Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, who is the State Command Chief. Chad, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. We always appreciate the fact that you help us tell our story, so we really appreciate that, you being here for our exercise.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, because I was as we were setting up here today and talking, and by the way, every single person here has been outstanding to work with. I mean, could not be more hospitable and friendly and kind and helpful. But as I was talking to people here today, one of the things, and we continue to tell this, is exactly what you said, the story, and that when we see things happen on television, and we're always careful, we talk to you folks here, that there are certain things you can and can't talk about, but anybody who watches the news, lots going on in the world right now. And when the call comes, it's our friends and neighbors here in Wisconsin who often take the call.
That's right. I mean, we're very much dual purpose, right? And we're here for our state and for our citizens, but also can be called up federally at any time to support any of those actions that are out there. So yeah, mm-hmm. it is a busy time for sure.
General, for those that might not have been with us last year at this time, explain to listeners across the state what we're doing here today. It's called Northern Lightning. What does that mean? What does it entail? And give folks a little history.
Sure. So we affectionately refer to it as summer camp for fighter pilots, but it's a lot more than that. It's a tactical level fighter exercise that allows a variety of fighter units to come here and train at a peer adversary level. So for a potential threat like China to come here for 9 flying days over 2 weeks and hone the skills, work on the tactics, do the mission upgrades for pilots, do all the things required to essentially launch an air war twice a day for 9 flying days to make sure that we're as ready as possible. Because that's ultimately what the public expects us to be, is ready for just about anything. And these days, that could be a lot of things.
Is it too simplistic as a civilian to call it kind of war games? I mean, it seems like there's a camaraderie up here. Men and women who do these exercises, there's a, I'll say, a level of fun to it, but it's also literally deadly serious.
It's extremely serious. And yes, it is essentially war games. We have a red force and we have a blue force, and they plan their missions separately, just like an adversary would with us on the other side. And then we launch, and they in a very safe and controlled manner that doesn't involve actual missiles and bombs. Mm. They fight it out, and through the technology that we have here at Volk Field, they're able to do a very detailed debrief of what actually happened. So one side might win or lose, but then we come back and all the pilots sit in a room for hours, and they go through the digital data that's provided. And they talk through what actually happened. Hey, here, you lost here, you won over here. This tactic worked here, it didn't work over here. And it's excruciating. These training days are really, really long, especially for the planners, the intelligence folks, the air crew, the maintainers. The day of a flight is just part of it. The pre and the post work that goes into it is extensive. So yes, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of fun and esprit de corps to be had, but it's very serious, hard work.
Also, talking just off the record, or I shouldn't say that, but just casually with people here, and also just out in public, we've spent a lot of time this spring and summer traveling all over the state, particularly Western Wisconsin. And for those that might not have friends or family in the military, I think this is an important distinction, but keep me honest on this, General. There might be a perception by some that says, "Well, you know, our military—they're always—they're after. They want to have war. They're training to kill people. They're training." But keep me honest on this. My take is that the first and foremost mission of our military is to deter actual violence, and look what's happening in the military. Again, without talking about specific incidents, when you have a buildup and show of force, hopefully that prevents. Yep. Or if breaking up.
I couldn't agree more. So there's an old saying that goes something like, the most expensive thing to do is to fight and lose a war. The next most expensive thing to do is to fight and win a war. Mm-hmm. The most sensible thing to do is deter aggression through being ready. And that's our hope, is that by actually being ready and the rest of the world seeing us as an adversary that they don't want to tangle with, we can forego any actual conflict in the future. And that's what this is all about. You know, we have a potential adversary in the Chinese that have stated, a month and a year in the not too distant future for when they might take aggressive actions. And they've been provocative for years in that regard. Our goal is to deter them from that by making them realize that will not work out well.
Yeah.
I think the other part of that too is proving to our partner nations that are going to partner with us in any endeavor that we get into, is that we're ready and able, right? And that we're going to be there for them if they need it. So that's a real key point, too.
I'm not sure which one wants to take this, but talk a little bit about, this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. And by the way, Brigadier General May, he comes from the air side. Now he's the interim adjutant general. He has to pretend. It's like my grandmother used to say. She said, "Todd, you have to love everybody, but you can like some more than others." So, I mean, do you have a little bit more affection on the fly side of this?
I was commander here for almost 4 years, yeah. You know, sometimes referred to as the golden era of Volk Field. No, I'm just kidding.
I saw the statue on the way in.
I spent a lot of time here, and I love the people of Volk Field. Yeah. Many of them are still here. So personally, I have a very strong connection to this place. And I had a part in growing this exercise into what it is now with a whole bunch of other people. So this is very personal for me coming back here. And I also acknowledge the importance of what we're doing here, which is not just about the Wisconsin Air National Guard. It's about the entire Air National Guard, really, the entire combat air forces, which is essentially all of the nation's combat aircraft, being able to come here over the years and train. So,
well, talk just a little bit about this. The fact I got derailed there for a second, but this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. You have folks from across the country right now.
We do. And when Shaggy's on a little bit later, he can run through the roster better than I can. But we have a number of Air National Guard units from a variety of states. We do have some active duty here as well, including the Marine Corps. The makeup is different every year. We've had Marine Corps, Navy, active duty Air Force, Reserves, Air National Guard, to varying degrees every year. This year is very heavy on Air National Guard, which is great, because part of it is we also need to demonstrate to the Air Force that our part of the combat air forces is ready to go, and we can get some training done here that might not be able to be done anywhere else.
Yeah. Chief Master Sergeant Workman, talk a little bit about what your role is as the state command chief. What goes into day-to-day across the state in your role?
Well, I really try to keep my eyes on all things throughout our organization, really, and especially enlisted force issues, right? Lately, we've been really focused on working towards child care issues or providing health care and other things like that. Our recruiting and retention is a big one for us right now, making sure that we maintain the force that we need for this country. So any way that I can advise General May on issues that we have and try to get ahead of them to take care of our airmen, that's really what my role is in this organization.
I want to get your thoughts about 2 minutes here before the first break. Two things struck me when I walked on base today, as some of these aircraft were taking off earlier. On one side of me was, I believe, a 97-year-old World War II veteran that you all had come up here because his dream was to see aircraft take off like that. And on the other side of me were teenagers from high school that were coming here to learn more about the military and recruitment and the Air National Guard. It gives me goosebumps to juxtaposition of those two things happening simultaneously.
Yeah. This base has been here 70 years, and we are absolutely part of the community. I met a gentleman once who lived in a farmhouse over on the north side, and he told me he used to ride his bike right across the base, right across the runway, to get to his piano lessons over in Camp Douglas once a week. And he said, "I'll bet I can't do that anymore, can I?" I said, "No, you cannot do that anymore." But there are deep, long-standing ties between not just Volk Field, but the Air National Guard and our communities. You're going to hear more about that as some of our other folks come on and talk about that. But it's very, very powerful.
It really is. And for someone it's kind of a military version of Make-A-Wish to see this veteran from World War II that God bless him is still with us. And has the opportunity to come out and sit right here on the tarmac and see a dream come true at 97. How cool is that?
Yeah, and so easy to do. His, the timing was fantastic. You want to see one? Well, we can show you about two dozen here real quick, depending on what time of day. So yeah, so things like that are fantastic, and we relish sustaining and building those connections throughout the community because like I said, we are enmeshed in the community.
Yeah, it really is. We're going to come back, and I want to touch a little bit on, I know we're going to do this deeper down on the show today, on recruitment, because there are so many opportunities for folks. And good news for all of you that might not be spring chickens, a little late for Todd, but if you're in your late 30s, still a chance for you to serve your country. Going to come back for live from Volk Field here in beautiful Juneau County with the General. And more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at Volk Field here in Juneau County, central Wisconsin. That is the Wisconsin, or that's the National Guard theme, I should say, here. Going through all the service academies, or at least some of them. Glad to have you along with us. And you can see behind, watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, also known as X. You can see the actual airstrip behind us here. We are what, General? Maybe, I'm not good at this, 125 yards away from the actual tarmac?
Yeah,
something
about,
like that?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We could have a takeoff at any minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're very, very... I asked if I could fly, and they said, sure, if you want to pack your own parachute. So I said, no, I'll just stay on the ground. We have Brigadier General David May. He is the interim Adjutant General of the State of Wisconsin here at the table, and also Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, the State Command Chief, with us as well. Gentlemen, I want to talk about this a little bit. We just had some I'm assuming, high school... people go by us here on this tour. Have a lot of young people here today. Talk a minute. I heard today that there is a $50,000 signing bonus if you select a certain career path, in addition to getting your college paid for. I mean, these are outstanding opportunities if you're the right fit.
Absolutely. We've always had amazing resources available for people that enlist in the National Guard, and it's only gotten better on the Air National Guard side. We have these very large bonuses like you mentioned. So today we have something that's called an Airman Experience. All three of our bases do it, where they invite out high school age kids along with their parents or their teachers or whoever wants to come with them. They're all a little bit different, but the idea is to showcase some of the 200 or more career fields that we have in the Air National Guard and see if something clicks with one of the young folks. And also just to meet our people and see what they do so that they see that it's just a regular person who made that decision to join this organization. Now they get to do this incredible thing. Like I often say, we're ordinary people that get to do extraordinary things because of our choice to join this organization.
Yeah.
And Master M. Powell is going to come talk to you. She's one of our recruiters here, and she's walking around there with some kids. But these events are fantastic in terms of inspiring people to think about at some point joining one of the branches.
Yeah, Chief Master Sergeant Workman, when did you kind of decide to get involved, sign up?
26 years ago.
Wow. Was there anything? Right. Was it just something in your family? Was it something that you felt called to do?
No, that's actually a good segue. So I did a program called Air Force Junior ROTC, mm-hmm. and I'm actually from West Virginia, and that's where I graduated high school. But they really gave me my pathway into the military, really helped me find my why and why I wanted to be a firefighter in the Air Force. So that was kind of how I got there. And that's a great segue because as we've been in this recruiting environment, it's kind of forced us back into the communities. And a lot of these students here came from Chippewa Falls.
Wow.
High school yeah. area, which we've had partnerships with and a lot of good relationships. And we're actually trying to get an Air Force Junior ROTC in Chippewa Falls High School. So,
well, there you go. For all those listening on WCFW, the TAP at Chippewa Falls in the Eau Claire area, maybe an opportunity for there. And also FHR, our Wisconsin Rapids station, which is probably the closest here as far as the crow flies here to Volk Field. So any of those people listening to any of our stations, let's say that we have someone, a grandmother or a parent or even a young person listening today. Maybe, as I said, what the age is now, what, 42? You can
42.
Still sign up.
42. Absolutely.
I missed it by that much.
See? Dang it.
But I think this is great because, again, I've said this before, one of my few regrets in life is I didn't serve. And I think people in their 30s why would someone in their 30s, beyond just the stipend, I guess, or the salary, what is the available to someone that might be not your average high school recruit?
The same opportunities are available to them, and we have people on the space that have joined in their 30s. In fact, we have a science teacher who is in our weather flight here doing weather, which is one of the more intricate career fields that we have. Lots of training, but mm-hmm. it's a great career field. And now he aspires to be an officer potentially. But it's an augment professionally and also personally to what they're doing with the rest of their life. Obviously, someone that's closer to 42 is going to be at a different point in life. You know, yeah. Kids and a mortgage and a profession, all that stuff going on, but there's still room for a guard career. People do it all the time. Guard people are very busy. They're good time managers, and the guard service is, it's a nice supplement to everything else they do in their life, and it's an outlet to learn new skills. And it does open up access to resources like healthcare and education, and an additional pension down the road. But it's not the demographic that we normally go after. But it is absolutely an option.
Give us a quick update, General. Last time we talked to you, you had applied for the new aircraft down at the air refueling wing in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Give us an update on that, if you could, please.
Yeah. So, we are still very much in the hunt. So, as a reminder, 15 states are competing for one opportunity to convert to the KC-46 from the KC-135, and that's what we're after for Milwaukee. The short list will be determined probably by the end of next month. So we're really getting down there. We're right down to the wire. I'm happy to share that our entire federal delegation have supported us in terms of signing a letter, and they're on board supporting and highlighting how great of a choice Milwaukee would be. So we're very appreciative of that support. And now it's coming down to the decision makers getting together and seeing who's going to be on that cut list. So we feel confident. We know that we're a great choice, and we would serve the Air Guard and the Air Force well with the KC-46.
When you mentioned this, my understanding is you're having some of the elected officials from the state here a little bit later on base. Not a lot of things bring Americans and Wisconsinites together anymore. You just mentioned that the entire congressional delegation, Republican and Democratic, signed this letter of support for the new aircraft in Milwaukee. And I still believe in my heart of hearts that by and large, our men and women of our American armed forces are the one thing or one of the few things that do bring people together on from partisanship or from partisan aisles.
Absolutely. And we're an apolitical, nonpartisan organization, of course, but we get support from elected officials who come from parties. So there are some things we need to be careful about there. But you're right. To have our entire delegation come together on this item and support us is fantastic. And that should make everybody feel good about something. Anytime we can find common ground like that is a win.
Amen to that. 2 minutes left, gentlemen. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure we share with people across the state?
Chief might want to give you some Chinese before we leave here.
Are you fluent?
He's a bit of a Renaissance man.
Really?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
I love this.
Not fluent, but he might be able to order us a beer.
Yeah.
Okay. Give me a little. How would I ask for a Spotted Cow, my local beer?
I don't know if I've got that. We could probably ask for like a glass of water.
All right, let's give it that.
So, Wo Yao Shui, right? Oh. Water is Shui.
All right.
If you wanted ice water, you'd say Bing Shui. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Just a little, just enough to get me by if I needed to, but yeah.
Have you ever had to use it like while deployed or anything?
No, not yet.
Probably thank God, right? If you're having to use that, things probably didn't go well, maybe. I don't know.
He can read labels on things that are shipped to his house that are in Chinese, though.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. That's fantastic.
it's not the easiest to learn, but
I've heard that. I mean, it's just, it's not Spanish, English, or different base languages. Yeah. So, but I mean, the diversity of things that you learn, things you use in the Wisconsin National Guard, whether you're Air, whether you're Army, just a great organization. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you so very much. Our Interim Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard, General David May, and Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for having us here. Always fantastic.
Thank you.
Up next from Thursday, Todd's interview with Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, the creators of Just a Bit Outside, a brand new documentary about the 82 Brewers. Stay tuned. I'm talking baseball, Brewers all the way. Milwaukee baseball, the Brewers all the way. Raleigh, Raleigh, Raleigh. I'm talking baseball. Raleigh. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34, now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Songs of My Youth. Used to play that on WRCO back in Southwest Wisconsin, a former CBS affiliate there. We are talking Brewers baseball on the All Ball Show today. So excited to welcome back to the program one of our guests and welcome him first time for the other guest. The film coming out September 13th at Marcus Theaters all across the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere. As Letterman used to say, in select cities, and by God, I hope one of your cities have been selected. Coming up on September 13th, it is a new film called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 World Series Brewers run. And joining us to talk all about it is Sean Hanisch. He is the director and producer. Sean grew up in the Milwaukee suburb of Brookfield, Wisconsin. He's been a Brewer fan since birth and grew up idolizing Yount, Molitor, Gorman Thomas, and the rest. Attended 60 games in that 1982 season, including all six playoff for home games for the playoffs as well. He is a Emmy-nominated filmmaker as well, has all kinds of great films. And Kelly Call, producer of this great film. Kelly is the former president of CBS Entertainment, a lifelong Brewer fan growing up in Burlington, Wisconsin. Beautiful Burlington. I've been there several times and never knew he'd be end up being a friend of his longtime idol, Gorman Thomas. Kelly Call, of course, 21 years, helped CBS build a durable, successful scheduling framework, making it the number one network for viewers 14 of the last 15 seasons. He's brought us great shows such as Survivor and my personal favorite, Blue Bloods, if only it was still around for next season. But that's not why you called. Kelly Call and also Sean Hanisch, welcome to the program, guys. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much, Todd. It's so great, and to have two Wisconsin guys here, and this may be important later on this half hour. Sean, you grew up in Brookfield, Kelly in Burlington. Sean, talk about what it was like just growing up as a kid in Southeast Wisconsin, and how did you become a Brewer fan, and how did you get into filmmaking?
Well, I mean, actually, I have my parents to thank for my love of all sports. I come from a very a sports fan heavy family. I was lucky enough to my parents had tickets to the Brewers since I think they got season tickets starting in about 1974, and I was a lucky kid. I got to see all these guys, grow up, and all the way up until I was 14. And there's really nothing like, a summer day in, at the park,
right?
When you're 14 years old with your family, going in to see this incredible group of players, an incredible group of people that continue to win, continue to like. There was something, I know I'm getting right to the movie here, but I have such a fondness for that time in my life growing up, mm-hmm. because it's something that brought together my family, that brought together the community so beautifully. And you really felt like there's a real a community there that forms. I think Wisconsin sports fans and their teams have a special bond, whether it's the Packers, the Bucks, the Brewers, the Badgers. There's something, I don't know. I've always felt stronger about those ties than I think some people that grow up in Los Angeles feel about, their ties to their sports teams.
Right. I couldn't agree more. We've taken this show on the road all across Wisconsin this spring and summer. And you know what people don't want to talk to me a lot about? Politics. And when we talk about things like the Packers or the Badgers or the Brewers, they love it. They're like, Todd, talk more about that because it brings us together. So I couldn't agree with you more. How did you end up with a kid from Brookfield end up in the filmmaking business?
Well, my dad was in advertising. He had an advertising agency in Milwaukee. So I was able to go on sets. And since I was a little kid, I was actually in a few commercials when I was a child, some of his spots. So I grew up around the community of creatives and being on a set, and I was able to really learn all the different positions, at a very low cost, when I was a teenager or in college. And it really was when I was at Madison studying under an incredible film studies department and a really good production school. And that's really where I fell in love with film. And then I was, fortunate enough to get into USC graduate film school, and then moved out here. And that was kind of the ticket or the sign that told me, hey, you could do this for a living.
Kelly Call, you're another Badger alum. In fact, his handle is Cali Badger. We welcome back to the program. We love you having you on here again, Kelly. Talk to folks that maybe didn't hear it when you were on before. Again, your love of Brewers, how you kind of got to be a Brewer fan growing up in beautiful Burlington, Wisconsin, and then how you got into ended up being one of the most powerful people in Hollywood, being the president of CBS Entertainment.
Well, I think it's a little bit kind of what Sean said. As a kid growing up in Wisconsin, it's just kind of osmosis. You're checking the, and people forget now, I think, how different it was then. You're checking the paper the next day if the team played on the West Coast. How'd they do? Oh, the West Coast scores aren't even in the Journal or the Sentinel today. So there's just a great mystery. Right. So doing that, and, I think it just, in the pennant chase that year, just getting mm-hmm. caught up on it, and every game you're living and dying with the team. And again, it's if you're not watching, and I would watch on, I think it was good old Channel 18. Then you're again checking the paper in the morning to get any information how the team did. I think, like I said, it was just. And where I do think Wisconsin is unique, and I think what our film does is, we've had some people say, "What's left to tell about this story?" Well, I think as we learn making the film, there was just in the context of the '80s and the economy in Milwaukee and unemployment and this town that was really down on its luck, this team and this. diverse, interesting, kind of crazy group of players bonded together and lifted this whole city up, really to just to the brink of winning it all. Didn't quite get there, but then the city showed, you know, their love for the team and paid them back. And I think that's kind of what we, you know, got into. And I would say the other thing we found along the way is, you know, it still sits with these players to this day. It when we started, I think this was just, we were going to put a bunch of drinking stories together on film and have a good time with it. And there are a lot of those. But you know, in talking to them, boy, we would, you know, do these interviews and you would get to the end and you would get to game seven. And I think we took these guys back to, you know, kind of a place they don't go too often.
Yeah.
And it sticks with them to this day. There's regret there and they all handle it in different ways. But boy, it was I think, you know, Robin Yount said it best, you know, greatest ride of his life up to game seven, and game seven, worst day of his life.
Wow. Amazing. We're talking to Sean Hanisch and Kelly Call of the new film coming out in September called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 World Series Brewers. Sean, how did you guys come? Whose idea was it first to do this? Yours or Kelly's, or like who, how did this come to happen?
Well, I'll let Kelly take that, because really it started with Kelly and Gorman on a golf course.
All right, Kelly, it so often happens, right? In politics and entertainment, in life, it starts on a golf course. Go ahead.
Gorman, of the 82 team, you know, I love them all, but Gorman was my guy. He was my hero. I modeled my batting stance after him. I wore my stirrups like he did. You know, I took big cuts at the ball and struck out a lot like he did, and occasionally would get lucky and hit one a long ways. So when I found, and this was maybe 10 years ago, when I found I would have a chance to play golf with him, I kind of jumped at it. And I was, of course, very nervous to hang out with him and to meet him. But then we got out there together. And I, honestly, within, you know, by the end of the first hole, it was, he's telling stories and he is kind of regaling all the guys we're playing with of tales from the team, including a lot from 82. And basically, you know, on each hole, he had a new story for us. And, you know, eventually, and this went on a couple of years, and I heard kind of so much that I talked to Sean. And I said, you know, I think there's something here. Ultimately, it was not what we ended up with, but it was the kernel was this kind of crazy bunch of guys who kind of went out pretty much every night on the road, wherever they were, and in Milwaukee. But then we'd go out and, you know, hit home runs and win games the next day. It was kind of neat. And so that was kind of the kernel of it. And Sean and I spoke, and then we ended up doing some kind of phone interviews with some of the players to make sure that we, you know, had something. And you know, the more we talked to them, the more we knew we had something. And like I said, it probably the end and the final product is probably a little different than what we thought when we started, but it's you know, absolutely satisfying. And what an incredible ride. There's no, you know, I think a lot of stories you've got to embellish the storyline along the way, but this story of the season needs absolutely no embellishment. It's a roller coaster ride, and it's all true.
Sean, talk about this, what Kelly just said, pick up on that, where you thought you were, where you started from, and how the film evolved as a director, what you got. How did that happen, and where did it end up?
Well, I think it's really fascinating because documentary is so different than making a narrative film. In the narrative film, you start with the script. The script is everything. In the documentary, you really form we had an outline, right? And the season lays out beautifully structurally. You know, high expectations, team falls flat on their face, have to replace the manager. The manager is a local legend. And, I mean, if we all remember Harvey Keene, he had a peg leg. And, you know, I mean, it's incredible. And he and his wife lived above the bar that her family owned. I mean, you could not script this better for a CBS show. You know, and then his team goes on this ride, this rocket ship all summer. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, we're going to win this thing. Oops. But then Raleigh gets hurt. And you're like, and then we get down to Baltimore. And so you just have to win one game. And we lose the first three out of four. And then pull it out there. Lose the first two in Anaheim. Come home to win all three. You know, take it to the seventh game of the World Series. It's like we knew there was a structure there. What we didn't know was the depth of emotion that these players still carried with them. And that really dictated and dictates how the film turned out. It was our first real proof of concept here was our first interview, which happened to be Robin Yount. Mm-hmm. And Robin invited us into his home for this interview, which was very generous. He didn't know us. And we sat down, and 2 hours and 45 minutes later, his wife looked over at me, Michelle, and she said, "I've never heard him say the words he said to you today in that way."
Wow.
And it was this, there was something, God, we hit something. And it was, maybe it's timing, but it was like all of these players still hold so much emotion about that season, so much emotion about the relationships they formed with each other. They're all still really good friends. Mm-hmm. They're all really good guys. And they have such a love of the city of Milwaukee, the fans of the Brewers, the fans of the state of Wisconsin, because we showed up for them. And Kelly said this earlier. What really came out, Todd, after a few interviews, we said, oh, this is a love story. This is a story of a town that was down on its luck, a lot of plant closings, a recession in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. It was a town that needed something to lift them up. They needed a team. And then when the team lost the seventh game of the World Series at their lowest moment, the town showed up and threw them an enormous parade, bigger than the parade that the World Series champion Cardinals had. And so it turned out to be a love story, and it's beautiful.
After a few interviews, we joked that, you know, this was kind of like Field of Dreams, where our mission was to like ease their pain. That's kind of what it felt like. Hopefully the players are going to see this in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if we did that or not.
Absolutely amazing. We're talking with Kelly Call and Sean Hamish of the new film, just a bit outside the 82 Brewers World Series run. We're going to come back, give you a chance to be at the premiere and also a Brewers game. A trivia next. More interviews with the All Ball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Network.
Stomp your feet, clap your hands. You're part of the team sitting in the stands.
That's fantastic. Where do you find that, Mr. Zomers?
Brewer Fever, the theme song for the Brewers in 1980.
Love it. A little Brewers trivia for you. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up, Maggie Dawn Show after CBS News or ABC News, depending upon which station you are listening to across Civic Media in Wisconsin. We are talking to Kelly Call, producer, and also Sean Hanisch, director and producer of the great new film coming out in September called Just a Bit Outside, the 82 Brewers World Series Run. Guys, this is a little production on the fly. Mr. Zomers, how long is that clip? Do we have, what's the time on that? Do we know?
A minute and a half.
Minute and a half. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play you this Brewers clip. And while it's playing, we're going to give you a chance to win 4 tickets to the Brewers game coming up on September 6th at 5:10 in the afternoon. And then a week later on Friday, September 13th, 4 tickets to the world premiere at a Marcus Theater near you. The trivia question to win this great package: at the beginning of the interview, we told you the hometowns of both of our guests, Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch. There are 2 correct answers. The first person to give us one of the correct answers.
Hey, this is Aaron chiming in again. Since this is a replay of Thursday's interview, the prize has already been won. But stay tuned because the conversation is still incredible, and we hear a lot of great stories about the Brewers.
4842. Make it easy. 8 855-75-CIVIC. Give us one of the hometowns of our guests, Sean Hanisch or Kelly Call. We'll take the first right answer while we're waiting. Mr. Zomers, if we can, here is the clip that we have from just a bit outside the 82 Brewers World Series team.
What you hear in the background are 54,968 fans. Nobody has left.
The stadium was so loud. As players, you can hear things. Even when it's loud, even when you still hear the ball hit the bat. And you kind of get a sense of how the ball was hit by the sound. But I never remember not being able to hear the ball hit the bat. Except this time.
Vlad ready. The 1-2 pitch.
I didn't hear the sound of the bat that I was so used to hearing. And it was kind of eerie. It was odd. I questioned on how hard he hit it.
It was a one-hopper, good thing, because he smoked the ball.
It came right up to me, a perfect one-hop. I go to throw it to first base, and I let it go.
I'm like, oh, my God, this is it, this is it. All I could think about was just catching the ball and jumping.
And I'm watching this ball go across the diamond to Coop, and I swear to you, they've turned the dial back, and it's in slow motion. I'm not sure it's ever going to get there.
The ball looked like it was just in slow motion, coming across. Hurry, get here.
It was the craziest thing.
Ball lined to Yount, it's short. He throws.
Wow. I mean, I want to go see this right now. That is a great clip from just a bit outside, the story of the 82 World Series Brewers. We have Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, producers and director. This is fantastic.
Todd, I've seen that clip at least 50 times now, and I'm still goosebumpy right here listening to that.
Seriously, if the camera could pick it up, I mean, literally, oh my God, guys. Thank you both for doing this on behalf of all the Brewers fans in the state of Wisconsin and across the country. This is fantastic. I want to get to more of the film, but first of all, the question to win 4 tickets to the Brewers game at AmFam Field on September 6th and 4 tickets to the premiere of this great film coming out September 13th. Our guests, Sean Hanisch, Kelly Call, both from Wisconsin, give us one of their hometowns. Let's go to Hans here listening on WMDX in Verona. Hans, give us one of the two hometowns of our guests.
Brookfield.
You are correct. Nicely done. The hometown of Sean Hanisch. Are you able to go to both the game on September 6th and the premiere on the 13th?
Absolutely.
That's great. You have a quick go. When's the last time you were at a Brewers game, Hans?
Probably about 3 weeks ago.
Nice. So you're a Brewers fan?
Oh, absolutely. The girls are big fans.
Are you old enough to remember the 82 World Series?
No, I was 3 years old then, but I talk a lot to my dad, and I've watched a lot about it, and I grew up watching Molitor and Yount, so I kind of feel like I watched it, but yeah, not really.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for calling. Don't go anywhere. Hold on the phone. Mr. Zomers will take your information. You were going to that Brewers game on the 6th and the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside on September 13th.
Sean, can we sweeten the pot and send that man a poster from the movie?
100%.
All right.
There you go. Our guests are fantastic. Awesome. Hans, you're getting the poster for the movie as well. That's fantastic. All right, Hans. Great. Thank you, Hans. Hang on. Zomers will be with you in a second. I have no words. This is just the coolest thing ever, you guys. And we only got about a couple minutes left. Tell me something that you want Wisconsinites to know about this film.
I would like them to know that one of the goals that we set out to do was to help people go. I wanted people to be able to go back in time and relive the emotions of that entire journey. And you know what? When I saw that scene and all that leads up to winning the fifth game of the American League Championship, I felt the same joy watching that as I did being in the stands. And I was like, we got it. We got it. We can, like Hans when he was 3. He's going to go see this movie and now feel like he was there.
Kelly,
and that's the thing.
Kelly, about a minute and a half left.
I'm not sure I could top that. I just, like I said, some people have said, well, what's left to tell about this story? But I'm very confident, you know, if you go see this, you're going to learn things you absolutely did not know. There's a subtext to this. There's an emotion that the players show. There's the context of the city and the time. There's just a lot underneath this beyond just the story of the season. And they got to game seven. I would also add, you know, I've shown this to folks who know the story and folks who don't know the story, and they both go along for the ride and enjoy it, whether you know all the details or know no details.
The film comes out September 13th. You're not going to want to miss it. It's called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers World Series. You can follow them on all the socials as well. Kelly Call, Sean Hanisch, thank you both so very much. We hope to see you in Milwaukee for the premiere for this. We're going to keep pushing it, keep talking about it. It's an important story to tell. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Really
appreciate
you guys. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Todd Allball saying,
thanks for tuning in to this week's Best of the Todd Allball Show, and we'll see you again on Monday from the Democratic National Convention.
Do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.